This is District Sentinel Radio. It's the newscast featuring reporting from the left. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We're in Washington, D.C. We're in the Harper is a Good Girl studios. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. Living up to the name today, Harper is in the studio, and she is being a good girl. You want to say anything, Harper? Okay. Haiku Week continues for a few more days. We've promised all new $5 Patreon subscribers their own personalized haiku on this podcast. It enticed some of you, so let's get to the poetry. This one is for Ben. It's the All-Star break. No baseball until Friday. More time for haikus.
Thank you, Ben. Hope you're a baseball fan. This one is for Brian. You're good, not lying. Our good subscriber, Brian, still won't eat the shark.
Thank you, Brian.
That's an inside joke between me and Brian.
This one is for Charles. Poem for a king. Actually, just a prince. Just deal with it, bench. No offense, Charles.
Thank you, though. Thank you. This is for Joseph. We won't say brosif in this haiku to our friend. Shit, I said brosif.
Thank you, Joseph. This is for Havoc. People know the word, but few know that Havoc was also an X-Man.
Also the second half of Mobb Deep, R.I.P. Prodigy. Anyway, thank you, Havoc. This one's for Mike. Our good buddy Mike wanted a haiku, so here, 69420.
Thank you, Mike. And finally, this is for Chance. Last one of the day. Not rushing it at all. Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you, Chance, and I am truly sorry for that.
And thank you to all our new subscribers. You too can get a haiku by going to patreon.com/districtsentinel and becoming a $5 monthly subscriber. You get access to our exclusive once a week Sentinel cast. You get your name in the Dang Solidarity Committee. You get bonus content, and you get to nominate people and vote for the garbage can each week. And if you do it this week, you get a haiku. What more could anyone want?
You also, in our Sentinel cast, you will also get regular access to Advice and Consent, our weekly advice segment with Rachel Kurzius. So basically for $5 a month, you get kind of your own therapy.
True.
Note, it's not actual therapy for all the public health regulators out
yes,
there.
Yes, don't come after us, AMA. Speaking of, I mentioned garbage candidates earlier. We are now accepting nominations for this week over at our Patreon, so head over there if you have become a subscriber and get them garbage can nominees in. Voting begins tomorrow night. Two other things before we move on to the newscast. One, just reminding people, we've got a podcast tour coming up. We've named it the Blue Wall Tour. We will be broadcasting from the remnants of Hillary Clinton's Blue Wall in Pennsylvania and Ohio that has crumbled down. So if you're going to be in Pittsburgh July 25th, we'll be there too. Get a ticket. They're free. We'll be at Spirit Hall doing a live podcast. We'll also be a few hours away on July 27th in Ohio and Columbus at Tree Bar doing a live show with the Street Fight guys. Tickets are free for both events. Be there.
Get off the coasts, you elite scum.
And finally, this is something I wanted to do last week, but Sam advised that we talk about it over air with our listeners. And that is that, you know, we have our weekly podcast for subscribers only. It's called the Sentinel Cast. And we're on episode 24 is coming out this Friday. In episodes 1 through 23, we've spelled Sentinel Cast as two different words. Sentinel space cast. I think it should be one word. Sentinel Cast, one word. I was just going to make that change heading when I posted Sentinel Cast number 23. Sam, you said I should talk about it on air here. I'm talking about it on air, but I don't think anybody's going to be able to give me input right now. We'll give you guys 2 days. You have till Friday to say whether or not this is a bad idea to turn Sentinel Cast into just one word.
Look, I'm just insanely insecure, and I didn't want anyone to think it was a typo.
Okay, well, so mainly we're doing this just so we have record of telling people this is not a typo when it appears as one word. Normally, I tweet it as one word because you save a space, you save a character.
True.
So be on the lookout for that Friday. Very big news. It's Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. Here's the news. Donald Trump's pick to lead the FBI, Christopher Wray, apparently doesn't read the newspapers. Wray appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, where he had to have known he was going to be asked about the Donald Trump Jr. stuff. But when he was asked, he said he didn't know anything about it.
Should Donald Trump Jr. have taken that meeting?
Well, Senator, I'm hearing for the first time your description of it, so I'm not really in a position to speak.
Donald who? What day is this? Who am I? Where am I? Wray was also largely not asked about his conflicts of interest. Remember, we're dealing not with a guy who's been at the FBI for the last decade. He's been a corporate lawyer representing wealthy clients and transnational corporations, meaning he may have to recuse himself from a lot of investigations if he does become the FBI director. Wray's financial disclosures and ethics agreement were released Monday, but senators were largely uninterested in it. Senator Mazie K. Hirono did ask a question for the record about Wray's previous law firm representing certain Russian clients. Wray also contradicted testimony given by a former DOJ lawyer in 2012, John Yoo, who claimed that Wray, who was working in the Bush Justice Department at the time, had reviewed and approved the 2002 and 2003 infamous torture memos. Wray said he didn't recall doing such a thing.
To my recollection, I never reviewed, much less provided comments on or input on, and much less approved any memo from John Yoo on this topic. I understand that he thinks it's possible he might have. I can only tell this committee that I have no recollection whatsoever of that, and it's the kind of thing I think I would remember.
So not exactly a no, but Wray did offer senators his current views on torture. He said he's against it. Now, you'd think Democrats might be pretty sour about this nomination. After all, the president likely committed obstruction of justice in firing the last FBI director, James Comey, and now he gets to appoint the new one. So will Democrats play ball and approve Mr. Wray? Why, yes. Yes, they will. A ranking Democrat on the panel, Dianne Feinstein, told reporters, quote, "I'll be very candid with you. I'm going to vote yes." She added, quote, "I see him as being a good FBI director." And then here was Al Franken during the confirmation hearing.
Mr. Wray, I have been very impressed with our meeting. I've been impressed with your testimony here today. Looking around, I'm feeling that you've had a good hearing today, and best of luck to you.
Al, he doesn't read the newspapers. He was obviously bullshitting everybody on the committee about the Donald Trump Jr. stuff. Anyway, expect Wray to be confirmed swiftly. Another win for the resistance.
You thought the Dems might put up more of a fight, that they might be a little more bitter about this, but instead it was more of Sugar Wray. Sorry,
nice.
That was the best I could do. I just want to fly. It's a Humphrey Hawkins week, which means there's economic news to discuss. That's right. It's one of the weeks that Fed Chair Janet Yellen heads to the Hill to testify about a semi-annual report on the state of the economy, something required by the Humphrey Hawkins Act of 1978. Today, Yellen was before the House Financial Services Committee. She was asked about a number of subjects, while some Democrats and Republicans took turns taking credit for the state of the economy, stock market highs, job growth, etc., etc. For example, Wisconsin Republican Sean Duffy a shameless industry shill and a former MTV Real World contestant, Duffy boasted that the stock market has been at new highs since Trump's election. It's something that we have discussed on this show, noting that it's extremely speculative, an indication perhaps of a mini bubble or overvaluation.
Get out of the market!
This does not also constitute financial advice, everyone.
We give a lot of advice on this show. None of it is official.
None is actually advice. Anyway, this overvaluation is something that a number of Fed governors discussed at their recent June board meeting. New York Democrat Carolyn Maloney asked about this market spike and whether we can expect a come down and what that would mean for the economy. Here is part of the exchange with Yellen.
It has suggested that the stock market is currently overvalued. Are there other markets that you consider or see as overvalued as well? And do you think a correction in any of these markets would cause problems for financial stability?
So in looking at asset prices and valuations, we try not to opine on whether they're correct or they're not correct. But on, as you asked, my assessment of that is that as asset prices have moved up, we have not seen a substantial increase in borrowing based on those asset price movements. Mm-hmm. We have a financial system, a banking system that's well capitalized and strong, and I believe it's resilient.
So there you have it. The stock market could very well be primed for a minor downturn after the Trump bump. But the good news, according to Yellen, Wall Street has been sitting on a ton of money that has been used to finance this bull market, and a return to pre-November stock prices, therefore, won't have too much of a ripple effect on the real economy. That is, unless you are in the education or the automotive sector. In late June, Fed Vice Chair Stanley Fischer also discussed stock market overvaluation, and he said that the delinquency rate for student loans and car loans is notably high. But back to Yellen's testimony today. Despite the acknowledgement of a mini bubble, Yellen defended a recent decision by the Fed to allow the biggest Wall Street banks to take cash reserves to boost their own stock values through stock buybacks and through higher regular payouts to investors. Here she is talking about that in response to a question from Texas Democrat Al Green.
Should we change the capital requirements simply because we can have the opportunity to return more dividends, boost more payouts? Is that a good reason to change capital requirements?
Once those capital buffers are in place, the Federal Reserve has no objection to firms distributing profits as dividends to shareholders or in the form of share repurchases.
Hell yeah, baby. Keep the casino going. Let it ride. It's bullshit that our financial system, by the way, is basically coked up nerd Vegas, but I can't walk to 7-Eleven and make a straight bet on the outcome of a goddamn baseball game.
You can bet on digital horses, though. I've done it. Trust me, I've done it.
You can also pick a bunch of numbers, and maybe someone on a local TV channel will pick those numbers out of it's the lottery I'm making a reference to. It's just the fucking lottery.
Done that, too.
Anyway, there was a bright spot from the hearing. Keith Ellison asked Janet Yellen about the negative impact of financialization, specifically if Yellen thought the exponential growth of the financial sector over the past few decades is what has been causing sluggish economic growth. Yellen said she would look into the issue, but did state, quote, "For many years, many American companies have been sitting on a lot of cash and have been unwilling to undertake investment in plant and equipment on the scale that we would ideally like to see. Damn it, Janet, just break up the banks." Anyway, for more on the Ellison-Yellen financialization exchange, check out districtsentinel.com, a good website where I posted a story, also good, on the good website earlier today.
Don't we have a rule about plugging your own content on the show? Actually, that's all we do. Not only is it Humphrey Hawkins week, it's Net Neutrality Day. You may have noticed a lot of people online promoting net neutrality. It's one of the only days of the year when all the top tech companies have a correct opinion. Facebook, Google, Reddit, Amazon, Twitter, Airbnb, Mozilla, Netflix, Dropbox, Expedia, DuckDuckGo, tons of other companies, all these sites putting up banners advising visitors to weigh in with the FCC in support of net neutrality. Fortunately, the commission under the leadership of IG Pi is currently working to undo the 2015 open internet order that protected net neutrality. IG Pi doesn't know how to wear a proper fitting suit. He also doesn't know shit about protecting the internet. Send him your messages.
Tech companies also had a good opinion a few years ago when they came out against the IP legislation.
SOPA,
yeah, the Internet Blackout Day. That was a rare good opinion day for Silicon Valley. More regulator news, including FCC news. Pi has gone above and beyond his bad suit and bad net neutrality opinions. He announced his intentions yesterday to place, quote, safeguards on a program that subsidizes phone and broadband service to the poor. According to Axios, Pi claims the program is plagued by fraud and abuse. The publication noted that this sets the stage for a clash over services that, quote, many low-income Americans rely on. In other news on federal regulatory matters, we noted earlier this week that the CFPB finalized rules barring banks and credit card companies from getting their customers to give up their rights to sue. This was through a regulation that barred the use of so-called forced arbitration clauses in contracts on financial services. Well, it turns out that Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas is spearheading an effort to wash out these rules. The Arkansas Republican said yesterday that he would sponsor Congressional Review Act legislation in order to nullify the CFPB order. Cotton said, quote, "The Bureau's new rules on arbitration clauses ignores the consumer benefits of arbitration and treats Arkansans like helpless children. Better to treat them like Wall Street guinea pigs, I guess. I'd like to see Tom Cotton read all the fine print on contracts that he signs. I'd also like to see Cotton have such a low social standing that no one would give a shit if a bank ripped him off. Go fuck yourself, Senator Bunny Ears."
Finally, Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman introduced articles of impeachment against President Trump on Wednesday. Congressman Al Green went on the House floor a few weeks ago to call for impeachment. We talked about it on the show, but Sherman is the first to formally introduce articles of impeachment. They accused the president of obstructing justice in the firing of James Comey. Now, Sherman has the support of Congressman Green, but other Democrats are against this effort. According to The Hill, during a Democratic caucus meeting on Wednesday, Congressman Michael Capuano said that the effort will hurt Democrats, and Minority Leader Pelosi stood up in agreement. I know this is an issue that divides the left pretty sharply, but to me, this is a no-brainer. If any member of, I'm not saying they should lead with this issue or 100% advocate, but if a member of Congress is asked, should Donald Trump be impeached? The answer is a simple yes. He's clearly self-dealing in the White House. He's violating the Constitution, the Emoluments Clause, and he likely obstructed justice. Ultimately, this is a political move. If you're going to use impeachment, which is a prescribed tool in the Constitution, then this is the presidency you would use it for. So to not turn Congress into a sham, then the answer is yes.
Pelosi just knows.
Support impeachment.
Yeah, agree. Pelosi just knows, though, that if Democrats push impeachment, they also have to come up with broader plans in order to get President Keith Ellison in charge, and that would require, basically, that would require her to no longer be the Democratic leader.
Yeah, go back and listen to our show a few weeks ago. Step-by-step process of how Congressman Keith Ellison becomes president.
Basically, impeachment needs to be paired with removing Nancy Pelosi from her leadership position, because we don't want Mike Pence as president, although I think he'd probably be better than Trump, who is an erratic fucking weirdo. But we need them both out, and we also need Nancy Pelosi gone for that to be viable.
Agreed. That's the show today. Listeners, call our rant line. Leave a message. That number is 202-684-6108. Thank you to the sponsors of the show, Chris Simpson, the Congressional Dish podcast hosted by Jen Briney at congressionaldish.com and levelnews.org. You can listen to this episode and all other episodes of our nightly newscast by going to districtsentinel.com. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Leave a review, give us a rating, tell your friends to listen. We're back tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.